So on top of producing and creating our own podcast, Rob and I love listening to and experiencing other podcasts and its creators. So today we want to highlight a show called The Mixtape Podcast. These are some fellow Gen Xers who dive into the 80s, 90s, and some other topics that will have you longing for the greatest two decades, using a lot of humor and producing a ton of nostalgia. But hey, they can explain it way better than I can. So check out this trailer for The Mixtape Podcast and be sure to go find them wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love 80s and 90s music?
You freaking should.
Yeah, because if not, you have issues. But if you do, then boy, do we have the podcast for you.
The Mixtape.
Yes, Matt, The Mixtape, where we chat about, well, 80s and 90s music, mostly.
Yeah, we sprinkle some other stuff in there, too, though. A smattering of 70s and early 2000s.
Throw in celebrity interviews, a lot of immature humor, and some actual content, and you have a hell of a good time.
We do have a good time, don't we?
Yes, we do. Check us out. Spotify, Pandora, Apple, iHeart, pretty much all the places you find podcasts. You can search for us, The Mixtape Podcast. That's four words. Find us, listen, subscribe, share, and stay awesome.
Have you ever wondered what Nicolas Cage and John Travolta would look like if they switched faces? We're going to try to answer that question as we'll be caged in one last time on an all-new crazy episode of Totally 80s and 90s Recall. Hello and welcome to Totally 80s and 90s Recall, a podcast where we take a look at everything from music and movies to television and pop culture, injecting our unique opinions and providing some awesome memories, fun, and nostalgia along the way. If you're new to the show, we're so excited that you found us. And for our returning listeners and subscribers, it's great to have you back. I am one of your hosts, David, joined as always by a guy who can also eat a peach for hours, my good friend Rob.
That was unnecessary. All right. My emotions for this episode would
best be... It doesn't make it untrue, though. So.
Golly. My emotions for this episode would best be expressed in a monologue by Gene Hackman in the classic Hoosiers.
Oh, my goodness.
There's a tradition in tournament play to not talk about the next step until you've climbed the one in front of you. I'm sure going to the state finals was beyond our wildest dreams, so let's keep it right there. We need to forget about the crowds, the size of the fan base, their fancy recording studios. Remember that we got us here. We need to focus on the fundamentals that we've gone over time and time again. And most important, don't get caught up thinking about winning or losing the game. If we put our effort and concentration into playing to our potential to be the best we can be, I don't care what the scoreboard says at the end of the game. In my book, we're going to be winners.
Wow, you're really just trying to pump us up for this, aren't you?
That's right.
We are now excited. I am ready to go play basketball.
Let's go good.
But we'll podcast instead, even though you motivated me to go.
Still 10 feet.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right. And just like as we alluded to in the beginning, the old peach basket, right? Anyway, of course.
I have a feeling the peach.
The peach.
Is going to come back.
The peach is the mascot of this episode.
The peach.
Yes. So that's all right. Okay. Well, joining us for our third and final installment of Caged In is the one and only Kurt. Welcome back. It's been a long but exciting journey.
Thank you very much for having me, boys. It's been fun. The last three episodes, I've had a good time. Can't wait for this here face-off.
Have you enjoyed being caged in?
Caged in.
It's been one of the highlights of my life.
Yeah. You know what? I could tell that emotion in your voice sold it to me 1,000%.
I said that while looking deep into Rob's eyes.
Yes, that's the only way to say it.
The awkward pause is...
It wasn't awkward at all. It felt right.
Anyway, the awkward pause was waiting for you to hit the caged in button.
Yeah. Third episode.
Caged in.
So, hey, he got that one.
Right. Nice work.
He said he was going to pitch a no-hitter on this one, but apparently not.
No.
All right. Well, Rob, we don't want to sidetrack you too much, but if you want to participate in this podcast, why don't you go ahead and tell them what we're covering on this episode for the last time.
All right, so final episode in the trilogy is we're looking at the movie Face Off.
Ooh, baby.
Also Cage and Travolta.
Yeah. All right. I mean, enough said.
Yeah, they swap faces.
Swap faces.
There you go.
You just already got ahead of yourself.
Right.
You already gave the whole plot.
Oh,
there's more. Okay.
Oh, there's way more.
Well, although I couldn't be more excited to be talking about Face Off today because I am. It's just a wonderful movie. It is with a little sadness as we'll be exiting the cage after this episode and we'll, at least for a little while, say goodbye to our guest host, Kurt.
He'll be back.
Who's been a pivotal member of the team these last couple episodes.
Yes, I have. It's been fantastic.
It's been good.
It's been neato, gang.
Neato. That's like from Anchorman.
Golly gee, guys. Thanks for having me.
He does that on Anchorman. Super duper. That's great stuff. Neato. Right? So that is great stuff. So, it's been a long road. We covered The Rock. We covered Con Air. And the only way to end this caged in event is to move on to Face Off. And you got anything else, Rob?
No.
Before we move on? Nothing at all?
No. I think...
Have you enjoyed being caged in?
Dang it.
At all? No? Okay.
Caged in.
Perfect. Oh, there we go.
Yeah, something like that. Everyone out in podcast land has a time delay.
That's been my favorite part.
Yeah, it's been good.
No, I'm excited for this one because this was of the three.
You thought this was the most artistic.
This is the heady one. He gave this us a little heads up on that one.
I thought, yeah. So. I wanted to really hate this one, and then the more I got into it, I kind of like it.
It's impossible. Yeah, that's how good it is.
Yeah. All three of them, though, I came in wanting to hate them.
Just best time of your life. So, medical accuracy be damned. We're swapping faces, bodies, wives, and everything else we have as we discuss the 1997 action film Face Off. Before we dive into the movie, let's go over some of the key details. Mm-hmm. Face Off was released 27 June 1997, just 2.5 weeks after Con Air. 1997 is now officially an awesome summer. As you could have gone to the theater and seen Con Air and Face Off at the same time, at least on the same day, which, by the way, is like the Super Bowl of dual features. Okay, mm-hmm. That's just great. But also, listen to these other summer movies in 97, because I think you're going to like them. Mm-hmm. We have The Fifth Element.
Ooh, Batman, I like that
one. Batman and Robin. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was the good one. George Clooney. Everyone loved that one. Men in Black. Mm-hmm. Little Will Smith. Air Force One, we've mentioned mm-hmm. before. The Lost World, Jurassic Park. And second mention on the show, but Oscar-winning actor Brendan Fraser in Georgia the Jungle. Yes. So good. Well, Face Off stars Nicolas Cage, John Travolta, Joan Allen, Gina Gershon, and a whole host of other character actors. This has a Rotten Tomatoes of 92% and an audience of 82%. So anyone who thinks this movie is bad is crazy. Directed by John Woo. So yes, we'll have doves, double guns, and explosions, and maybe a church. It made $245.7 million at the box office and was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Sound Editing. It was the number one movie in the U.S. for 1 week and the 11th highest grossing film in 1997. So with that, Rob...
Well,
oh, go ahead.
Rotten Tomatoes is 92.
92. Critics.
Critics love it.
Adored it.
Wow.
Adore. 92 is...
Must be the scientific accuracy.
It is. 100%. And we're going to dig into that scientific accuracy. Right. So, well, Rob, why don't you go ahead and give us the plot?
All right. So Sean Archer, played by John Travolta, a very tough, rugged FBI agent and one of the FBI's best, is still grieving for his dead son, Michael. Archer believes that his son's killer is his sworn enemy and one of the world's most ruthless and sadistic terrorists-for-hire and criminal masterminds, the very powerful criminal Caster Troy, played by Nick Cage. For 8 years, Archer has hunted Troy and is consumed by revenge. One day, Archer has finally cornered Caster. However, their fight has knocked out Troy cold. As Archer finally breathes easy over the capture of his enemy, he finds out that Troy has planted a biological weapons bomb that will destroy the entire city of Los Angeles and all of its inhabitants. Unfortunately, the only other person who knows its location is Caster's brother, Pollux, and he refuses to talk. The solution? The only solution, apparently. A special operation doctor that can cut off people's faces and can place a person's face onto another person. Archer undergoes one of those surgeries to talk to Pollux. However, Caster Troy somehow regains consciousness and now wants revenge on Archer for taking his face. Not only is Troy ruining Archer's mission, but his personal life as well. Archer must stop Troy again. This time, it's personal.
It's personal. Well, that plot is airtight. There is nothing bad about this movie. There is nothing that could go wrong with that plot. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Face Off. So this movie starts with John Travolta at a merry-go-round, mm-hmm. or we'll say a carousel, mm-hmm. with his son. It's really hazy. I'm not sure what's going on that day, but it's this like weird haze.
You'd seen,
like,
shot artistically.
A soft rock video like a, or something.
Like a dream sequence almost.
Okay,
like a,
we'll go
you
with
know,
that.
Like a, yeah. like a, it's a flashback.
Yeah. And then we've got Caster Troy, Nick Cage, straight pimping on a hillside.
With a mustache.
With a great mustache.
Great. With a mustache.
Drinking a soda?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Milkshake? I don't know. Some sort of beverage. Very calmly.
Mm-hmm.
To which then he mm-hmm. kills a 5-year-old mm-hmm. child.
And he's not hiding real well.
No, he's just laying on this hill.
He's clearly standing on a hill.
Yeah, plain sight.
Yeah.
So, and he murders a child.
Yeah.
To start the movie.
Yeah.
First 5 minutes, 5-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Dead. Head blown off, by the way.
Yeah. He's gone.
So, you know what I liked about that, though? I watched it.
that's an odd way to transition.
You know what I like about that?
What I like about
the kid's head
getting blown off is if you look behind when, you know, he's clearly freaking out because mm-hmm. his kid's dead. There are people still on the carousel.
Yeah.
No reactions.
No.
They're riding the carousel. Yeah. No one's coming to help. No, no one's screaming. By the way, if a shot goes off in a park like that,
people
everyone
running.
Scatters.
Yeah.
No. They're just, it keeps going around. They're just riding. So no one seems to be too concerned. Maybe they know how good of a sniper Caster Troy is and they weren't worried about him. So
maybe. Well, I have it. There was.
I mean, there's literally no reaction in the park at all.
They're like, oh, that's too bad.
Oh, that sucks.
But I paid good money for this ride. I'm going to stay off.
We're going to get our money's worth.
Some lady comes around. Oh, did your kid get hit in the head? Sorry. Maybe you should have watched him better. Yeah. So
you've got some blood on your back.
Yeah. You're
and that bullet
you're
passed,
upsetting. You're upsetting my children.
That bullet passed clean through him.
Oh yeah. Didn't hit anything.
Like, and he's good.
What's a high powered sniper rifle?
Yeah, I guess. Maybe. No, like punctured lung.
You know that
he walked away from that. We assume he did. He had a scar.
He had the scar. It went through clean
mm-hmm.
yeah. and then took off half of the other head.
Mm-hmm.
So, but credit to a movie that just goes, you know what we're doing in the first 5 minutes?
Killing the child.
Killing a child.
And I had read that initially that scene was supposed to be like in the middle of the movie.
Like a flashback?
Yeah.
No, but much better starting.
They moved it to the beginning.
Yeah. So then we flash forward to John Travolta's character, Sean Archer.
Yeah, he's a mess.
He's rough, right?
He's a mess.
He's having a tough time.
Yeah.
But still winning multiple awards. His wall's covered in him being the greatest FBI agent born, right? But he's trying to catch Caster Troy.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this sequence at this convention center mm-hmm. where he's dressed up like a priest.
Oh, my gosh.
He plants the biological bomb mm-hmm. you talked about. And then, Rob, take it from there.
I don't know how you describe it. He has a little interaction with, there's a choir, like a large choir
singing. Did he enjoy the singing?
He did. It was at Handel's Messiah.
I believe so.
And then he has a little interaction with,
I like the rocking out thing he did with his head where he like swooped mm-hmm. it back and forth.
Yeah. And then he runs into a young gal in the front row.
She's definitely young.
And, they discuss their love of the music.
That's what they talked about.
Yeah.
And
then I believe he grabs her buttocks.
Of course.
And then he...
I'm pretty sure he had an orgasm right behind her.
I think he orgasms. Yeah. I think he... Yeah.
The face he makes when he sings, he's like... Oh. It's rough, right?
Yeah.
She's like 15.
Yeah.
But she's smiling also.
Yeah.
So
this that's all within the first...
15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
So we've got a dead child. We've got him behind this female... did he mention... the peach thing there?
Not or
is
yet.
That the plane?
I don't think he said the peach.
I was going to say.
But
he
will
says
say,
something to her. Oh, he says something's a fucking bore or something like that. Yeah.
But no, that's something that this movie, you got to give it credit for, is it within the first half hour, not even that, it gets right to it.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, it's an action movie from the get-go.
Well, it's John Woo. He's hooking us up. So we go dead child. We go planting a bomb. Crazy interaction with the teenage girl.
Plane chase.
Chasing planes.
Yeah.
Right?
Boom.
So, where are you at on the chasing planes?
It was a good job on the chasing planes.
He plays chicken with his car with a plane. And the only reason...
With a Humvee.
But it's a Hummer. Yeah, it is another Hummer.
And the only reason he steers out of the way is because he's got old girl in the cockpit. Yeah.
Which he can see, apparently. Oh. Little tiny window in the cockpit.
Day. Agent
clear
Winters.
Clear as day. Yes.
Agent Winters. Yeah, poor Agent Winters.
Let me ask a question here. So Agent Winters' job on this aircraft, if I am getting it right, is to somewhat seduce to get information or something out of him, right? She didn't dress like you would want to dress to, like, seduce somebody.
Well, no, she was a stewardess. She was pretending to be a stewardess.
She's a stewardess wearing a tan suit with a turtleneck. Like, why is she wearing a stewardess outfit, right? That doesn't make any sense. Yeah. And then he gets all, obviously, excited and has her sit, and then that part about the, if I let you suck my tongue,
well, no, he starts grateful? By saying, would you be grateful? Where, he talks about where would, if I were to send you flowers.
Oh, yeah.
And then he cuts himself off and he says, no, wait. If I let you suck my tongue,
would you be grateful?
Would you be grateful?
And then, of course, we get.
Then she sucks his tongue.
She does, which that seems above and beyond her undercover action, but that's fine. And then he has the quote, which he uses a couple times in the movie, Kurt. And what was that quote afterwards?
That would be, I can eat a peach for hours.
For hours.
What could he mean?
What? I mean,
that's
I don't
such
know.
A veiled reference.
I think you're old enough, we don't have to explain it to you.
Oh, okay.
All right. Have you eaten a peach before? I think you can figure out the motion and understand kind of what his analogy is on that, right? It's gross.
Peaches.
Definitely. Peaches for you, peaches for me, right? Yeah. So, so you got her. She's somewhat seducing him. And then, of course, she's completely useless. As soon as action starts, she gets shot.
She blows her cover right away.
Immediately.
She just draws her gun and freeze.
Pollux takes her down with just a case.
Pollux takes her down.
Was it a case?
He had a case on his lap and threw it at her.
Something really simple. I'm like, that really distracted you?
But Pollux took her down. He's like not tough. He doesn't know anything about.
No. He's fine. He just can't tie his shoes.
Real quick.
Yeah, what is that?
My other thing about Pollux, that's not my worst thing about Pollux. That guy talks normal. I've seen an interview with that actor. What is this voice he's decided to go with here? Where he's like, hey, Caster, I'm good. It's going to be smoggy. Like, I don't know what this is supposed to be.
Kermit the Frog.
He made a conscious choice, to Kermit this up a little bit. Like, why? I don't even understand why.
I think it works.
Yeah, it's odd, for sure. And always waving goodbye to people with just his pinky finger?
Yeah, what's up with that reason?
This other finger's
I think
not
he only does that to Sean Archer.
Is it just him?
I think it's just Sean.
Is it supposed to be like...
I don't know.
Is he mocking him or something?
Because I think he does it twice.
He does. It's a whole odd... Pollux has a lot of interesting thing going on. He's just like... When he ties the shoe, he's standing there like he just doesn't even know what's going on. Mm. And then, Caster's yelling at him, I pay you to take care of my brother. Is he that inept? But he can build some crazy bomb that no one else can defuse. But he can't tie his shoes. Yeah. Right.
Well, and I read, because there's some intentionality with their names, right? It's astrological, Pollux and Caster.
It's Greek.
And it's Greek, but then...
Yeah. They switch the roles of them.
Right?
So Caster's usually the kind of the...
Yeah, he was. And Pollux was the immortal.
Yeah. And so I'd read a couple of things that said that was intentional to reverse the roles. I don't know, understand the symbolic.
Yeah. All right. Well, so we have this... plane off, and then Archer flies a helicopter into the plane. Mm-hmm. Great. And then Cage gets mad at the pilot because he won't take off, even though there's a helicopter on the wing.
Yeah.
And at one point, they lose the wing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we wreck into a hangar. Explosions everywhere.
Yeah.
And the amount of double guns and diving while shooting guns.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
There's nothing better than this whole movie. They're always diving to the side or rolling on the floor or doing somersaults while shooting, and they hit everyone.
Well, and
they never miss.
So this is really good that you said that, because one of the things that I wrote in my notes was talking about, I always forget to watch these movies through the lens of 1997, right? Like, let's talk 1997. What was movies like, right? So the whole double gun diving thing, that was John Woo.
Oh yeah, that's
right.
His
so
signature.
Now it's everywhere now. the whole diving and shooting, that was, so this is where it kind of started. He started that, and so we see it now and go, oh, that's kind of old, kind of movie lore kind of thing. But that was a big deal in 97. I mean, that was, you saw it slow motion and the two guns and
after all the two guns, after all the fight, they capture Caster Troy.
Also on the plane, I had read that John Woo used, it was a real plane.
Yeah.
So, and that was the other thing we've talked about in the last episode was this is pre-CGI.
Oh, yeah.
So this is not this CGI. This is a real plane. They really put it into a hangar. He had 13 cameras that recorded all the angles to get it, you know. So I just thought that was interesting that we're talking 1997 pre-CGI.
Yeah.
This is the real
deal. I like it.
So,
yeah. Did you see in the airplane on the steering wheel is a JW for John Woo.
Yeah. John Woo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to John Woo. John also Woo. In the Beastie Boys song, Sure Shot.
Huh.
It says that line where it says, I got more action than my man John Woo. Got more hits than Rod Carew.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. So,
yeah,
he made it in. That's how relevant he was
at the time.
Yeah. In the mid to late 90s. So,
that's cool.
Well, they catch Caster.
Mm-hmm.
He's presumably dead.
They think
he's in a coma.
Fired into this.
Yeah.
Engine thing. I don't even
engine
know what
block.
It is.
Yeah. And they arrest his brother, take his
lots
brother
of,
to jail.
Lots of continuity issues in that hangar scene. My wife and I are watching it. You can see the cords hanging from the guys when they get blown back.
No,
you can totally see them hanging in the back. Yeah.
I'm sure the editing guys didn't notice any of that, so it's fine. Look, these are stunts. They can't be, you know, they're not doing it for real, Rob. So, but we get Caster. He's in a coma. You think Sean would be happy? No, not happy. No. Still upset. No. Goes home. Wife hates him. Daughter's insane.
Life is not good.
No, it's not. And then they call him in. And of course, they want to get info from Pollux, and so we'll talk for a few minutes about this part.
Well, he tells his wife that he's going to.
Oh no!
They're going to go to counseling, and right?
Yeah, he starts with that.
Yeah.
Never was going to happen, but that's fine. And then, of course, this great plan comes up.
Mm-hmm.
There's this doctor that can do a surgery where he takes off your face.
Well, okay. Before that starts,
makes it another face. You know, other body, and not just the face. We can fix everything. Right,
but the actor actress C.H. Pounder.
Yes,
she. I can't remember what role she plays.
She's.
But the part that I snickered at when I was watching it is they're sitting there running through all the options.
Yeah,
and she goes, "There is one more option."
It's a great option.
And there really was only like three, but they got to the third one, and the third one is
that option.
Is that? I'm like, really?
Yeah.
That
was it.
You had that in your pocket.
Yeah, just sitting there.
Okay.
She was waiting to use it.
There is one more thing.
So he agrees to the surgery after at first complaining, but he complains and agrees to everything. The whole movie. That's Sean Archer.
Well, and then he's sitting there rattling off gun. So what you want me to do is you want me to put my career at risk. You want to put my family at risk. And he rattles off like four or five things. And then he goes,
okay, fine.
I'll do it. I'm like, okay.
It does not take a lot of convincing to get John Travolta going.
Like everything he listed was like every reason to say no, and he goes, nah, okay, I'll do it.
He is just a sad sack at the beginning of this movie.
Well, his personality, he's unshaven, his shirt's untucked.
He's
snarking at his crew, and are we, the FBI? We don't have intelligence.
After they capture Caster Troy, and the office is celebrating because they finally got this guy, he goes, this is to such and such that died, and he like slams it down and walks off, and I'm just like,
buzzkill.
This is a killjoy, man. No one can have 5 minutes to be happy.
No good job, boys. None of that.
No top-notch work. Nope, none of that stuff.
What about Winters?
I will say there's one small stereotype in that hangar fight. Mm. Margaret Cho comes in with some roundhouse karate kick.
Oh,
and I'm like, she was the only one that did martial arts in that whole scene. And I'm like, John Woo, did you? Hey, Margaret. And she's a comedian. She's not like an established action star. Hey, Margaret, this is what I'm going to need you to do. She's just like, all right, okay, that's all fine.
That seems right.
That seems right. I'm the only one that could do that. There's 15 other white guys in here. I'll throw the roundhouse in, right? So I'll do the karate kick. But yeah, so we get to the hospital. He's going to do the face-off, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's unpack the face-off.
Okay.
Kurt made a good point earlier about his buddy, though.
Yeah.
His buddy originally was like, you got to do this. This is the only thing to do. Then
right before the surgery, you know, I think this is a bad idea. I don't think you should go through with it.
Right?
It's like, make up your mind.
I'm in scrubs. They've got me IV'd up.
He changed directions quick. Just like, oh, never mind. This looks wrong, right? So, all right. So, what do we think of this surgery?
So many questions about. It seems so easy.
It just seems like the laser around the outside, and then the skin all just comes off.
Just comes
like
right
nothing
off.
Was else yeah. holding
yeah,
it
nothing's
off.
Connected to your nose. Your
no.
So just so you know, from an anatomy standpoint, yeah. if you were to cut around the outside of your face will just come off.
Yeah.
Your nose and eyes yeah. and mouth mm-hmm. and cheeks and all that, they're not attached to anything.
As long as you have a good vacuum.
So look, you can yeah. feel it. Just pull your face away yeah. right now. It'll pull right off.
No like nerve in, I mean, no. I don't know.
Nothing. Yeah. So, well, no, Nick Cage has the pain pills. So
that's
it's fine as long
that's
as you have some of those cool fancy thing. Little pain pills.
I really like how when they actually did the swap.
Yes.
They really made it a point to fold
yes.
the
to massage
to really
the skin
massage
the, face.
The skin on the forehead to show that it's
what they didn't
not
make
connected.
A point to do was make those faces masks look anything like
no.
Nick Cage or John Travolta.
You mean that wasn't them?
I mean, I assume it was.
Especially earlier when they come to visit Castor when he's in his coma,
oh, yeah.
and she does the cigarette on his arm.
Yeah,
that is
it's not him at all.
It doesn't look like him at all.
Like, I'm so, shocked yeah. right now.
So
this is new information.
So yes, obviously taking the faces off was a little too mm-hmm. simple. And we were led to believe this is the only doctor that can do this. Like he made this surgery.
Oh, yeah.
And then at the end,
but I know
they
guy
do
guy
it very quickly.
The wife goes, yeah. "Oh, we called in a top surgical team
from
DC. I'm like, "How do they know what to do?" Like, and they killed the one guy that knows how to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, is there some journal they read, or did she just call up? Hey, we've got a situation here. We've got a face off.
Mm-hmm.
I need it swapped back. Yeah, we'll be there in mm-hmm. half an hour. Yeah, no problem.
Well, and then there was a lot of, so they did the face, but then they in the pre-surgery, they're talking about liposuction.
Their bodies don't match.
So then I'm like,
at all.
But then I, what about their junk?
Yeah. So that's a question Ooh, for later, right?
Oh, okay.
And I don't know if
okay.
we have that, but we'll just say it now. So
they
do everything. And then, you know,
the wife,
once he's John Travolta,
yeah.
Nick Cage, he does have sex with his wife.
Yeah.
She doesn't know. I checked with my wife on this. She said that
she would know.
She would
yeah.
know.
Well,
he would do things differently.
But the argument I read, though, is
his rhythm would be off.
In her journal, she clearly states they haven't done it in 2 months.
2 months.
So maybe
okay.
he hasn't
no,
seen
look,
it.
2 months is not that long.
You don't forget in 2 months.
That's
yeah.
true.
And they've been married for a while. And
maybe they're like never nudes or something. And they never see
yeah.
like.
I'm obviously not a purveyor of penises.
Yeah.
But I would imagine they're different. They're like snowflakes, I think, right? They're not all the same.
I think so.
I'm okay. going to go with your expertise on this one.
All right.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm
just going to think she would know what was going on.
I would think so, too.
But this is, so once they switch, this is where my favorite thing happens. Travolta takes his acting, because he's kind of this sad sack,
mm-hmm.
and now that he's supposed to be Nick Cage.
Yeah.
And I read that they spent a couple hours together before the movie, kind of getting to know each other's yeah. mannerisms, and then said, "This is my version. This is my version."
Mm-hmm.
And so Nick Cage is acting kind of like a ho hum sad sack, and John Travolta just takes it 200 degrees
mm-hmm.
up. I mean, it's almost too much, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact that it seems like they're just trying to overact each other.
Yeah,
the entire movie.
Well, it's very one article I read that I really liked. It said, and it's true. If I think I'm going to say this right, it was John Travolta acting like Nick Cage, acting like John Travolta.
Oh, yeah.
It's and then great. It was Nick Cage acting like John Travolta, acting yeah. like Nick Cage. And this multi-layered, I just think it's...
Yeah. Well, so many things, when he becomes John Travolta, that don't make sense, but we're just going to roll with. He's driving home, has no idea where he lives. Although, couldn't he just look up the address
yeah.
at work? But fine,
yeah.
we'll say that
I like
that's...
He blows past the house and he goes, oh, yeah.
Well, no, he blows past the house. He
recognizes
sees,
the wife and
he
hits
recognizes,
the brakes.
He doesn't know her. Yeah. He sees one woman walking out of a house and goes, that might be my wife.
Yeah.
So he just pulls back. And when she goes, oh, you finally forgot the house. He goes, no. And then he makes his crazy, I don't want you to leave, but I love watching you walk away.
Well, and even in the car when he stops, he says something like, oh, yes. And
no,
it's something Nick Cage yeah. would have said was like, oh, yes.
But he's,
and he puts it in reverse. And
but when he's driving at first, he's like, oh, Boersville or some crap like that, right? So, but when after the wife leaves and goes to work, we get into super creepyville
because
he goes upstairs.
Oh, yeah.
And his daughter's in his room hanging out in her
What
underwear.
Does he say? He goes, the plot thickens.
The plot thickens. And it's gross the way he says it.
Yeah.
And then the way he's eyeballing her is just
reaches
rough,
around her
right?
to get
oh,
the cigarettes.
Yeah. It's awful. Yeah. You're going to be seeing a lot of changes around here.
Papa's got a brand new bag.
it's rough, right? So, and then Cage is in jail. as John Travolta trying to figure out, I guess, he says he knows him great, but has no idea how to act like or what he would say, right? But what I found interesting is the brother immediately knows this is wrong for no reason. Like, he looks, it's him, and yet he's like...
And he tests him right away. What medicine did you give me?
And he gets it right.
Yeah.
But he's immediately like, this smells like a face-off. Like, I don't think this is right. And then when John Travolta comes and he talks to him, he immediately goes, yeah, you're my brother. Like, no questions asked from Pollux. I know you swapped. No one else in the prison knows what's going on, but Pollux is like, no, this is a swap. I know what's happening here.
Yeah.
I really think that went from zero to 100 too fast. Like, just for no reason.
Well, and this is the part of the movie that I like because it makes it, it's a strange movie in that it's not just a cat and mouse, you know, crime. Now it becomes quasi sci-fi, right? I mean, we've done the face-off, but we're now in this like supermax, like our boots magnetized to the ground type jail.
Which I love the boots. They're from Mario Brothers, the Goombas. Yes.
Right.
Wait. So before I think so we then glossed, I think we glossed over something. Yeah. We jumped to Travolta being Cage being Travolta. Real quick, rewinding back to that. After they did Travolta surgery, Cage is in with no face.
Yeah.
And wakes up. I don't know why he wakes up, but he wakes up.
One of the good quotes in the movie happens there when he meets the doctor.
Pulls the bandages off his face. And it's fine. Take some pain pills, but no. You would be in so much pain. I can't even imagine. You have no face, right? Anyway, so I digress. He has no face. Then how can he talk? I mean, my son noticed. He goes, how's he sounding out the W's and like the B's? I mean, he has no lips. Like, what is happening here? And then he starts smoking with no face.
In a hospital.
Right? In a hospital.
There's probably oxygen. Yeah.
And then I have to question their tactics. So he brings the guy in, makes him do the surgery, but they kill him. Yeah. And the agents, so no one else knows about it. But he mentions later that they're going to swap their faces back. I'm like, why would you kill the one guy that can do the surgery? Why wouldn't you just take him hostage and hold on to him? Because by killing him, you've essentially ended, because he doesn't know there's a crack team in D.C.
No.
He's not aware of that.
No, nobody knew.
And how are you going to explain that? Hey, by the way, I want to switch back to Castor Troy now. And they'll be like, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. So I would think you would want to hold that doctor hostage in order to get the surgery redone later.
Yeah.
So I thought that was flawed, setting that dude on fire.
Well, and then there's that close up in the guy's glasses, and that's so the gross. Only time you really see his face, you know. And he clearly has a nose.
Yes,
you know,
which makes no sense.
But,
again,
you know, pre CGI, now it'd be totally different, right? But his little quip about I think the doctor says something about like, "What do you want?" And you know, he says. What the hell do you think I want? You know, I want my face back.
I thought it was
back.
Like take a guess or something like that.
And he's smoking.
He's clapping in his face. He's doing that slow clap.
And he's like, I was checking out your best hits.
Your best hits. He goes, great work or something like that. So, back to the prison. The boots are cool. The fight's weird. He does that crazy face.
Yeah.
And like, I like when he says like fuck or something, but he'll say it calmly and go fuck because I guess Archer's doesn't cuss. But then he's like, but I'm Caster. So then he goes fuck and like tries to really accentuate it. Yeah. Like I'm Caster Troy.
Yeah. Shut your fucking mouth.
I like how he just keeps announcing. Great. I'm Caster Troy.
Yeah. So I think if I want to say anything that Pollux deciphered that led him down the path of this being a face off is that, he called him bro, and I think Caster didn't call him bro, right?
No, he hated it. He calls him bro, but he hates it.
Oh, but he hates it. Okay. Yeah. But Caster does do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then what's tipping him off, I guess?
Why I think there's you talk about overanalyzing it.
But, please do.
You know, you talk about like what is identity? You know, what is it? Is your identity in your physical appearance? Right?
Yeah.
Which is, it's not. You're much more than your physical. And so, you know, the two characters are so he's very just like, much more than their.
So Pollux just knows this is Sean Archer.
Yeah. He just
pretending
knows,
to be my brother.
Yeah. There's something different about him.
No one else suspects it, just Pollux. Because when he goes to the cave with all the other criminals, Caster, everybody loves him. No problems there. Gina Gershon has sex with him. She doesn't care. Right? This is Caster. Again, can't tell, but I'll give them a more gap in time. Although she did have his child, but that's fine. So confusing. Some of the medical accuracy, a little confusing here, but fun, right? Another thing I don't understand, he escapes from this prison, which is an oil rig, in the middle of the ocean. He dives into the water.
There's a boat in the water, helicopter above him.
Helicopter above him. He gets away. And next thing you see him stealing a car on land. He was like 5 miles from shore, at least. He did not swim all that
way. What kind of car did he steal?
A beige Volvo.
A beige Volvo. The trilogy.
So good. The trilogy. Yeah. Nick Cage loves beige Volvos. So now, he steals that car after swimming 5 miles? Yeah.
Well, I was on a chat deal reading a conversation, and they said exactly that. Like, so you jumped off an oil rig.
Yep.
One, unless you're trained, you're probably not surviving that. That's a long ways down.
Long ways down.
And they were like, even if you slow kick in slow motion, like that, and then, no, they're like, no, that's like movie rules. Once you hit the water, you're free.
You're free.
You
get, that's it.
Like,
and
it's,
he had to swim. Limits. So he's swimming to the shore, we assume.
Yeah, there's a helicopter in the air.
There's a helicopter.
What, did he hold his breath that long? Yeah. And they're like, oh, we lost
like,
him.
All like, we can't find him.
Like, you wouldn't patrol that whole area.
Yeah.
And like, he, in 10 minutes, some dude pops up and starts swimming. You're like, should we check on that guy? Right?
There's only a secret Supermax prison. Yeah, they wouldn't have any
deal, right? But if you do watch it, it looks like once he hits the water, they're like, he jumped in the water, and the helicopter goes the other direction. Yep. They're just like, he's dead.
We lost him.
I just like on this part how Sean Archer, FBI agent, has no problem starting a riot where multiple guards get killed, beat up, and he's fine with it.
He is fine with it.
Yeah.
No, no problems. And then they were shock treating that one dude's head. I mean, he was vomiting on himself.
Oh, yeah.
He's all messed up. Well, and within 2 seconds, he's up beating up everyone in the place. Well, and like, no residual effects.
And if you notice... Pollux or Castor is talking to him in one words.
Yes.
He's like, stop.
Stop.
No. Because the guy's a vegetable. He's fried.
He's a vegetable, but beating everyone up and using a gun like it's no problem.
He's like, you know, like he's talking to him like he's a vegetable. He's like, no,
he
stop.
He shouldn't have been able to get up and do anything. His body shouldn't have been working, right?
So he's like Frankenstein at that point.
That whole escape was a little asinine, but we got to get him out of there.
That's right.
Otherwise, we don't have our
But I also think you talk about like him not having a problem starting that riot. I do think there's an element of when you really start to analyze the two characters, Castor and Archer are very similar in who they are. They're both guns for hire. They both kill people for a living. They're both kind of deadbeat dads. They, you know, they have very similar. And so I think I don't think it's a stretch for Archer to become Castor. I think it's very easy for him to become because I think he's
he adopts to it pretty well.
You know what I mean? And the flip, right? I think Castor starts to take to Archer's role because he starts like defend his daughter.
I will say,
and he's trying to be, you know, so there's a little bit of a, they're not too far, they're kind of the same, and they have, you know, unsupportive, they're unsupportive dads, you know,
but I will say Sean Archer signed up for this surgery. He knew what was going to happen, but as soon as it happened, it's like every time he looks in a mirror he starts crying and he gets mad. Like he told the doctors, fuck you, fuck you. And then he broke the mirror. I'm like, you knew what was happening. It's not like they knocked you out and then you woke up with his face. Like, you signed off on this. And then you're mad about it. And then every time he sees himself in a mirror, he starts crying. Like, it's like, come on, man. Get yourself together and get through this crap. Because otherwise, you know, what are we doing here? He's supposed to be this big, bad FBI agent. He acts like a pansy most of the movie.
At least Cage's
version of him is that he's this little pansy.
Yeah, he is kind
of. So, well, let's talk about real quick. Our favorite subject. So Travolta's family, to include John Travolta as Sean Archer, the Archers as a family, like to do this little movement that shows affection amongst their family members. Yeah. I think Sean Archer kicks this off, but everybody follows. And so they take their dirty fingers and rub them down each other's faces, palm down. Yeah. John Woo referred to this in the script as the love touch.
The love touch.
Sounds gross.
Yes.
But we've also heard on another podcast and other places, it referred to as a face waterfall.
Oh.
And I like that much better.
I do like that.
So we're going to say face waterfalls. I counted. I've got 10 face waterfalls in this movie.
Yeah.
But it's gross. Like,
I'm just going to go out
rubbing
and say,
your dirty fingers across my face.
I'm saying right now, I would bet you $100 if I walked down the hallway and I face waterfalled my wife. She would punch me in the face.
Well, I can tell you it doesn't
She would recoil in horror and be like, what are you doing?
I'm pretty sure people in David and I's family would be like, stop it, not again.
Don't touch me.
Just so you know.
We've
how many times have I told you not to do that?
So just two nights ago, I watched this movie and Laura was sitting next to me on the couch.
Did you do it?
And while she was just staring ahead, I just rolled over and I did it. And she was very unhappy. She said, stop touching my face. Yes. All this stuff. That's so
I just like in the movie, every time they did it, you can actually see the fingers like hit the lip.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And you're like, it's, come no, on. Gross.
It's not come even on. Like a symbolic, like I'm away from it. It no. actually rubs like
right
raw.
Down the yeah. face. It's no. pretty horrific. That's right. Funny. So, yeah. I don't,
well, and they do it to the daughter does it to the kid at the very end.
Yeah. So good. It's so and terrible. I was like, this poor kid.
He's just been traumatized. He's pulled in yeah. and we're rubbing our hands
first
on
thing
his
we're
going
to do is rub. He's going to be like, what is going on? By the way, they're moving him. They're moving him into that kid's room, which hasn't changed since he died.
Yeah.
And I give that kid 2 months before they just start calling him Michael.
Oh, that family's like, going to fall
changing
apart. I'm telling you.
His name's, what's his name? Adam? Mm-hmm. Or
Adam. It's Adam. It, wife's name is Eve. Come on now.
But as soon as that kid moves into the Archer's house, I'm telling you, they're just going to sit him down a month later and go, your name's Michael now, so just get over it.
Well, I know we're jumping to the ending, but I find it funny. He walks up and then they have this embrace and then he goes, I have a favor to ask you. He never asks.
No, he just brings
he just
him
goes,
home,
hold on, kid. And he pulls a new kid in. And
wait,
then,
first
and
of all,
the wife just says yes.
You're glossing over the worst part of that scene. Yeah. So
he came home alone.
Yeah, he's at the hospital getting major
and she's at
surgery.
The table. What was she doing? She's like reading or
doctor,
something.
She's a doctor, and she's just like, call me when you're ready, or like. Yeah. You wouldn't be at the hospital waiting.
No.
She didn't give him a ride home.
He said,
the
no,
hospital.
I'll get a ride.
He walked up and she's like, oh, what's that? And then, of course, it's him looking very phenomenon. John Travolta.
A lot of glow.
In that
there was
scene.
A glow.
He had the glow. Yeah. He was a little unshaven again. It was that little smile he had. Very phenomenon. Great movie. But anyway, she just sat at home. Yeah, he's at the hospital getting major reconstructive surgery. All these things are happening. He'll just come home when he's done. Oh, and I'm bringing this child with me. Yeah. And all three of the family members are like, yeah, come on in. Let's go. And they're like, they didn't even blink. Should we talk about this now? He's our new substitute child.
That's right.
Yeah. He's five. He looks exactly like the other one. He even has the same haircut.
It's like the same actor.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
I mean, there's nothing wrong here. It works perfectly. I mean, you can't do anything wrong here. So. A couple other questions about the surgery, which we said. There's one part he's rubbing his face on a wall, and he's like, my face itches. That's what he says. And I'm like,
his partner was nice enough to rub his face for him.
Yeah. The only thing after this surgery that's a problem, the only side effect was his face itches. This is our problem.
Well, his face was just itchy, but he couldn't because he was handcuffed, so he couldn't itch it himself.
I also like,
and the recovery time was amazing.
Amazing. I also like that they put that thing on his throat to make his voice, and they're like, don't get hit in the throat. He gets hit in the throat like 15 times, and his voice never changes until the very end. So,
back to that ending part, I found this quote. It was this conversation with people online, and it said, how much therapy do you think this family needs now? And one person replies back and says, no, they're great now. They seem to be very resilient. And somebody says, just going to sweep the hole. I accidentally slept with your own son's killer because of your work thing under the rug.
No big deal.
Oh, and then the daughter says, sorry, I shot you, Dad.
That is the worst line delivered in that entire movie. And she delivers it so terribly.
Yeah.
Sorry, I shot you, Dad. She's not a good actress anyway, but that really was bad. So, well, another thing I think we're glossing over here and not really paying attention to, when they have that big shootout at that warehouse where he's with those other criminals.
Yeah, the hideout.
So the bald guy, who's Gina Gershon's brother.
I want to hear your take on this.
He gets shot in the neck, and he's dying.
Squirts out.
Yeah. And so Gina Gershon's going to run off with the kid. Mm-hmm. And right before she runs off, he grabs her and makes out with her right in the hall.
Oh, yeah.
And their brother and sister. So when you're dying, is this...
I don't know.
Is this something that we do?
Are they really brother and sister?
Yeah, they say it in the movie.
I don't know.
Like 15 times. And I looked it up online. Yeah. They're related. They're brother and sister. And they make... I mean, that's not like a kiss on the cheek as I'm dying. Like, they're swapping tongues. It was kind of gross.
From what I read, the actors were the one that came up with it. Wu said, yeah, go with it. Because they just wanted their characters just to have that extra creep factor.
It's gross.
And they succeeded.
It worked.
It's rough. I've watched that 100 times, and I'm like, why are they making out... And by the way, they're shooting 3,000 rounds into this building. And that kid puts on those yellow headphones and doesn't hear anything.
No, that's right. Fine.
Yeah. Yeah. He's smiling and waving at people as bullets fly by his head.
He's got Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Somewhere Over the Blaring. Rainbow blaring yeah. in his yeah. ears. And he's just like.
I did find that a very artsy scene, you know, where they've got this massive gunfight going. And the song that is playing in the background is Somewhere
Over the Rainbow.
Like,
it's very telling.
Very, like, yeah, you know, juxtaposition. Haunting. Kind of, you know. It reminded me a little bit of the Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, where I can't remember the song that's playing, but yeah.
When they're fighting that big thing.
It's this upbeat song and people are dying in the background. And I thought,
but
you
the
know.
Guardians aren't making out with their siblings. No. So that's one plus for the Guardians.
That's true.
I still don't understand why they're making it out.
I like one of the scenes where Archer's telling his wife a little story about their first date and everything. And I found he's talking about we went surf and turf, she was a vegetarian.
Yeah.
And then I go back to when Castor Troy was Archer. He made two lobsters for their date night.
Yeah.
She had a big old lobster on her plate, looked like half eaten. So there was a continuity problem there, or she's just not vegetarian anymore.
First of all, she hasn't had sex in 2 months. So she's like, look, if lobster gets me booty,
I'll do it.
I'm doing it. This is what's happening now, because I can't wait any longer.
She's going to cut.
That's what's happening.
Yeah. Right? Her morals be damned. She's morals be damned. I'm eating the lobster.
Yeah, I'm eating this. Because this means...
I'll eat the lobster.
Yeah, it's fine. So, the church scene, pretty classic scene, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, yeah, I like that. The doves.
Got the doves flying in the background.
John, John Woo loves the doves.
He does. He loves. And I like the standoff where everyone's pointing a gun at everyone else.
Yeah.
Oh. So great.
Well, it gets really silly where it goes, a father would never do that. Or never let that happen. He goes, well, a brother either. And then or a sister.
Or a sister. Like,
or just waiting for or a nephew.
Or a nephew.
Or an uncle.
Well, I like that he's an FBI agent. He just starts walking around at one point in the movie with those two nefarious criminals. No one seems to care.
No.
If they knew who Castor was, those are his two right-hand guys. Everybody knows who they are. Wouldn't they be like, hey, Agent Archer, why are you hanging out with those two guys? Yeah. Don't worry about it. Yeah. It's fine. So.
Everything's good.
But after the church, you got your standoff, you do all this. And so you've had a child shot at the beginning. Mm-hmm. You've had this hangar explosion chasing planes. You've had this shootout at that warehouse that was totally insane. Mm-hmm. You have, you know, siblings mm-hmm. making out. I like when Nicolas Cage, as Sean Archer, goes to the house. Mm-hmm. She doesn't even scream. This is the guy that murdered her son. And is like the worst person on the planet, and she just stands there, doesn't make a noise.
Yeah,
and there's three cops downstairs.
Yeah, he's able to de-escalate pretty easy.
Just easy. Like, and she didn't fight. Yeah, he says two sentences, and she's just like, this sounds right. Mm-hmm. I'll just sit down and believe that. So we've had all that, and then we get to a big gunfight at the church. Although there was another gross part where John Travolta's got the daughter. And he licks the side of her face.
Yeah. He uses the peach line there.
The peach line
again.
He
does the peach line.
That was a little disturbing. Yep. But then you think, well, there's no chance there would be a boat fight at this point in the movie, too. Oh, no. Yeah. We're going to have a boat fight as
classic
well.
Classic boat
fight. So I timed it. From the time that boat fight starts, like 30 more minutes till the end of the movie, this is the longest boat chase I've ever seen in my life.
And at the time, that was the boat chase.
It was.
To beat all boat shit. Like, that was,
I mean,
it was the thing. And then he water skis on his feet. Come on.
He's holding on with one arm
with
chain.
A chain.
Going like 90 miles an hour off that boat. Yeah. But what's worse than that was when he jumped the police boat while it was exploding, lands on the other side, doesn't even miss a beat racing with John Travolta, and just keeps going. No problems. Yeah. So my son saw that. He goes, the boat was on fire, and then he landed, and he just kept, he goes, that doesn't seem right. So. Yeah. And then, of course, they wreck at the end, have their little fight. Mm-hmm. Right? He starts cutting his face off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and they make no... they probably made an attempt. It's not a great attempt at the stuntmen. Like, it's a slow-mo. They're being thrown through the air. It's
the wigs are fantastic.
Clearly not John Travolta. It's clearly not Nick Cage flying through the air.
No, not at all.
And you can clearly see their faces. But anyway...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Oh yeah. He does that weird cut your face off thing. And,
I'm like, well, you're just getting that started for me. Just take it off. Say, I need it off anyway. So, well, I like also again where no questions are asked. The wife, Joan Allen, calls the FBI and goes, "I got to tell you something, but I promise it's true." And then all the agents show up and they walk up to Nicolas Cage and go, "Agent Archer, are you okay?"
What'd
like
you
again,
say?
No questions asked. We're not going to... The actual looking archer's dead on a wall, and none of the FBI agents are like, could that be the guy? No, it's Nick Cage. We're going to believe this. No questions asked. She goes, oh, I ran the blood DNA. It's good.
Yeah, that's right.
They're the
I read somewhere that there was even... there's some symbolism in their blood type. Where... No, seriously.
Of course
where,
there is.
Where Archer's blood type is like a universal blood type. So it's, you know, it's...
He's a universal donor.
He's a
Caster's a universal receiver.
Yes, but whatever his blood type is, it's really rare, and you need, you know, so he's a taker.
Yeah.
And yeah. You know, anyway.
Well, he's a giver. Couple fun facts before we move into our categories. Originally, when they wrote this script, they wanted Arnold and Stallone.
Oh, yeah. There was a ton of people. Schwarzenegger and Stallone.
Well, they wanted a ton of people, but those were the main. This was written for them, and it was written in like 92 or some craziness, but they could never do it. And Michael Douglas produced this, like Fatal Attraction Michael Douglas. So interesting there. John Woo paid for that scene in the warehouse with the kid wearing the headphones, getting the whole place shot up because the studio, he'd already gone over the budget. The studio said, we're not going to pay for it. So he paid out of his pocket because he thought that headphone scene was pivotal, was what he said on the DVD extras.
Okay.
So, and you already hit it. The sibling kiss was ad-libbed.
Ugh.
They said that the rest of the crew was like, that's an odd choice. And John Woo's like, nope, good. Can it.
Like it.
Move on. Let's go to the next part.
No.
So.
I also had other people that were tagged were Harrison Ford, Bruce Willis, Alec Baldwin, Robert De Niro, Pacino, Mark Wahlberg turned it down, and at one point, Patrick Swayze.
Could you imagine Pacino in this?
Yeah.
I don't know which part, but he took my face off.
You can't take.
can't take what you've stolen from me. Or what's that one where he goes, when Sean Archer, as Caster Troy, as Sean Archer, and they thought that Caster Troy is supposed to be dead because he jumped off the oil rig, that he should have been dead. And he's like, he's dead. And he goes, well, did they? They go, yeah, but they haven't found the body yet. They haven't found the body yet? Like, yeah. He was like, get on it.
Yeah. I can tell you he's already here.
Travolta's 0 to 100 with no apologies. And, it's great. I think it's fantastic. So
I did read somewhere it says Nick Cage considers Face Off one of the best movies he's ever made.
I agree with him.
So
I can't. Who's going to disagree with Nick on that one, right? So, well, we're still not having any fun. So for the last time, being caged in. Caged in. Let's hit up our categories. You know the first one. Category one, favorite character, Kurt. Why don't you tell us who that is?
I'm going to go with your favorite, too. Pollux Troy.
Oh, it's not my favorite, but yes.
That's Caster Troy's brother.
Yes.
I put that, you know, he's a genius. He can create this nerve agent bomb.
Can't tie his shoes.
Can't tie his shoes, but, you know, not everyone's perfect.
Nope.
Wears
the same outfit the whole movie, except when he's in his prison outfit.
It's hard to change.
Other than sets a jacket and the khakis every time.
I mean, he did get to do the jump and shoot, but after the plane into the hangar, but he only had one gun.
He did.
Only got the one gun.
That's why he got captured. If he had two guns, he might have got away.
That's right. He takes the medication Divex. That was the...
What's that for?
That is for either epilepsy, bipolar disorder, or migraines, but it never says which one it's for.
Oh, I would guess the bipolar, because he's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I was going to go that or epilepsy, just because he's got the kind of weird...
He does have the twitches.
Yeah.
He seems like he's kind of frail.
Yeah.
Weak a little bit.
And of course, that great... talk sound he makes with his voice.
You really love
hey
that
big brother. It looks like Custer's having some fun. It's an odd choice.
Again,
you're directing this, and John Woo's like, I like it. Let's go.
Hey, to be fair, he was nominated for a Blockbuster Entertainment Award for Best Supporting Actor.
Who did he win?
He did not win, just nominated.
Who? Do you know who won?
I do not know.
Oh, that would have been really good information.
I think he should have won, so I just got mad and stopped looking.
I can give it that. Well, my favorite character is John Travolta as Caster Troy in his own body. Are you confused yet?
Okay, wait. Okay.
So I want the Travolta who is actually Caster Troy, who's... licking his daughter.
Okay, yeah.
Having sex with his wife. Probably having sex with his daughter. We just don't get to see it. I think he's the best part. He's going over the top. His quotes are amazing. He's facing off in mirrors with him. He's that part in the church where he sings a whatever he's doing.
And just the way he does the pose, he puts his hands out and cocks his head to the side.
When he tells the daughter after, because they have the same voices, and he's like, no daughter of mine would ever miss like that, when he hit him in the shoulder instead of shooting him.
Dad, shoot him, Dad.
Shoot him, Dad. So that is my favorite character. Okay. Right. When John Travolta starts, you know, ramping it up to 1,000 miles, he's in the office. He's grabbing his assistant's butt. He's slapping other people on the butts. He gave that one guy a heart attack, apparently, and killed him. He's just going 0 to 1,000. I love it. And that's the best part. So,
I like the part when I think they're in the church, right, where everybody's now joined and they're all pointing each other, guns at each other. And Travolta goes, "Wee!"
He does. Wee! He's done that in other movies, by the way. He likes that. So.
Let's see. My favorite character is Agent Winters. Only because of the conversation. We'd already unpacked it. God. She was committed.
She's not.
I understand she's not a main character, but
again, she's alive. Got 2 minutes in this movie.
She was committed. She sucked his tongue. She was prepared to sleep with him because she was starting to unbutton her blouse. She was. And then they got interrupted.
It's the honeypot. She was doing the honeypot.
I don't know.
Thought it was a peach pot.
Yeah. It was going to turn into a peach pot.
She's like deep cover, right? I started reading about... Can FBI agents do that?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
can they suck tongues?
There's got to be line, right? And I found this article said, while there's no absolute way to identify, it was some chat room, and it was like, how can you identify an FBI undercover agent? And here are some telltale signs. Did this person suddenly turn up out of nowhere and then get along with members of the group within hours of showing up? So she just shows out of nowhere, and now she's all of a sudden stewardess, and she's on the phone. Does he or she act overly enthusiastic about your group? Does he or she appear to be excessively helpful? Well, she's sucking on his tongue. Offering to take people take them places and get them there afterwards. Does he or she volunteer for tedious tasks, which while doing the rest of you a favor, allow him or her access to data such as a membership list data, blah, blah, blah. So she's not very good undercover.
No, she's doing a bad job.
I was like, I gotta give it to her. She was in. She was in for the team. She's a team player. By the way,
another thing to unpack real quick. When she's sucking his tongue right there, Pollux is sitting in the corner right across from him.
He's watching.
Like grinning.
Yeah.
He's got this weird look on his face. Yes. I'm going to guess that's the first time he hasn't watched his brother have sex with a girl.
No, that's not the first
time. I'm pretty sure he sits in the corner and watches it all the time. Or he's in another room, like looking through a hole in a wall. But I'm guessing because when they're in prison and he talks about the girl sandwich he had with the wife and the sister before he went to prison on that dude.
Oh, yeah. Pollux knew all about it.
Pollux is like grinning and remember you had a...
he was there.
You had a threesome with blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You know, so, I'm going to guess he sits in the corner and watches this quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yep.
All right.
Anyway, Agent Winters. I got to give it to her. I was like, she's in.
She's terrible.
She's a teammate.
She's not a teammate. She's really bad at her job.
She literally took one for the team.
God. And she, like, yeah.
She got shot.
So when they explained to her undercover, they're like, you're probably going to have to suck his tongue. You're probably going to have to sleep with him. He's going to do this peach thing because he likes fuzziness.
Yeah.
So maybe don't shave that day, right?
There you go. See? And she was like, I'm in.
Too much.
The wives are going to hate that part.
Oh, no. They'll love it.
I'm predicting that. I can hear Laura right now going,
they call it,
David!
They call it peach fuzz. I mean, I'm not making this up. All right? So.
We're just double down. Wow. Double down.
Double down.
Wow. Double down.
So, all right. Well.
No, and then the other part about that I thought was funny. It's awful, but Caster puts her out the door.
Yeah,
shoots her in the side, throws her out the plane, and then he just kind of goes, "Oh, sorry."
Well, they run over her.
And the look he gives to the there you go.
And Travolta's not that upset about it. He's just like, "Damn it!"
Yeah, well, he's more name. I have he's to more say frustrated because now
they're
going to
get away. All right. Well, so that takes us from that to category two, our favorite quote. From the movie, so
some good ones.
We'll let Rob go first.
Okay, it's not a real major one, but I just thought it was really clever. So, it's when Archer is actually Castor, at the house, and the daughter's sitting at the table, and he comes up and he says, "If you dress like Halloween, ghouls will try to get in your pants." I thought,
well, by the way, a little foreshadowing.
For Danny
the dude
Masterson.
In the car, yeah. Danny Masterson, sexually assaulting his daughter, is now in prison for sexual assault. So, I guess it was a training ground. I'm not sure. It's not good. So we can thank John Woo for that one as well.
But just the way he says it.
You know. Oh no, that was a great line. Then he gives her the butterfly knife.
Yep.
Just jam it in and turn Twitters. It. And yeah. The wound won't close. Yeah. Do you have protection?
You mean like a condom?
Mine was, he's in the hospital. She's at work. I don't know why he's so upset by this. And he pulls that thing off the dude's face. She's working on the patient. Oh, yeah. And he's like, oh, so worried you left in the middle of the night. Yeah, I'm an ER doctor. Yeah. I leave.
Yeah.
But anyway, as they're walking out, he's with his two friends. And he goes, lies, deceit, mixed messages. Ugh, this is turning into a real marriage.
Yeah. Okay, and let's rewind a little bit. That dude's wound is not good.
Oh, no.
It's like the side of his face is gone.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
I mean, and all she's doing is some, like, it just looks like
sutures.
Some sutures. That's going to take more than some sutures.
You know, like, why she can't work on him better? Same wound her son had. Trauma.
She's
having some PTSD.
Oh, my gosh.
Couldn't put that one back together.
Like, there's nothing there.
No. Yeah, thanks a lot. I got a mom for a doctor, and I just bled out on a Ferris next to the carousel. Thanks a lot. What are we doing here? All right, Kurt, what do you got?
All right, so mine is when Archer as Castor Troy is at Sasha and Dietrich's warehouse.
Okay.
Perfect.
Archer takes a little drink. It's got a little drugs in it.
Oh, yeah.
Takes it. And then he says, I want to take his face off. And he goes,
you want to take his face
off?
Yeah, you want to take his face? Yeah, he goes, yes, his face off. Eyes, nose, skin, it's coming off.
It's coming off.
And then Dietrich looks at him and goes, face? Off and does a little hand motion like he's taking off his face.
Well, it's not even that.
And then he goes, no more drugs for that man.
No more drugs for that man. What I like about Dietrich is he poses like he's doing some Shakespearean thing. He goes, face off. He puts the arm out.
And my note said,
what are you doing?
His hand motion was kind of like the chef's kiss, but it was like the
it
whole
was.
Pull the face off.
I was like, what?
Well,
are
then
you
right
doing?
After that is when Nick Cage goes into the bathroom. Well, he goes in and passes out on the bed. Then he goes to the bathroom. He does that weird, gritted teeth thing. And he's like, I'm Castor Troy.
Yeah, and she walks in like, what is
and
wrong
then
with
knocks
this?
Him out. Smacks him or something.
And then when he wakes up, he's got the kid and hugs the kid. And what does he start doing? Michael? Like, you're such a psychopath.
He's already calling it
this
Michael.
This poor kid again is like, what is going on in my life right now? So I think a couple other good ones that I had, but Cage as Archer, he just blurts out that one time. He goes, you watch your fucking mouth.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
He said, you better pull the trigger because I don't give a fuck. I'm ready for the big ride, baby.
Which he sings again
at the end. Travolta, Cage's Travolta. It hasn't been recovered yet. I said that one. And then Cage, John Travolta. I don't know what I hate wearing worse, your face or your body. I mean, I certainly do enjoy boning your wife, but let's face it. We both like it better the other way. Yes. So why don't we trade back? And
plan
he goes,
B.
No? All right, plan B. Let's just shoot each other.
Yeah, I had one that was Castor as Sean when he goes to the jail to meet him.
Oh, yeah,
and he goes, I've got a government job to abuse and a lonely wife to fuck. I mean, to make love to.
He was all in. As soon as he had Sean Archer's face, the first thing, I'm going to have sex with that wife.
Yeah.
Like, immediately. And, of course, the daughter. So
one of the ones I liked is when he's in the interrogation room with his brother. But he's as Archer.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, the brother says, seeing that face on you makes me afraid my tiramisu might come back up.
That's not how he said it.
And then Castor Troy goes, well, think about me, this nose, this hair, this ridiculous chin. I was like, well played.
Little, so good.
Which well was Travolta's played. Idea.
Travolta's
that,
idea.
To put that
to
line
make
in.
Fun of himself. So, all right. Category 3, favorite explosion action sequence. Kurt, lead us off.
I got to go with the boat chase scene.
It's really good.
It's the best since Indiana Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, so that it's got everything. It's got the
what
jumping,
about
the
boat
shooting.
Chase in Titanic?
And as I have said, Titanic is garbage, and I will never see it.
Chasing glaciers.
There's no boat.
There's no boat.
If you say so. You can say there's a boat chase.
No, that's
still
great. Won't. It's a great scene.
But yeah, it's a great scene. Even the crash, they go flying 50 feet in the air, land. Well, neither one of them's hurt. They can keep fighting.
No. And that boat has no problems. They put holes in it with an anchor. Mm-hmm. They've shot at it. They've got chains hanging off it, and it's still as seaworthy as possible.
Yeah. And they're obviously familiar with maritime navigation.
Oh, of course.
They drive those boats really well.
Well, and Travolta got shot and a couple other things and just gets in the boat like it's no big deal. Like, you know, I think he got stabbed. The girl stabbed
him in the leg.
Daughter stabbed him in the leg. He's fine. He just keeps going. Yeah. So, well, I'm going to go. I mentioned earlier, but I'm going to church shootout. You like, I mean, the setup on this, good. Doves are flying, double guns everywhere.
A lot of slow-mo.
The standoff, yeah. Slow-mo, so much slow motion in this movie. Everything's in slow motion. Everyone pointing the gun at everyone else. When she tells him he can have the child, please take care of our son. So she thinks it's Caster, but it's actually Sean. Well, Sean took that as a, yeah, I'll take your child. No problem. Yeah. What's that like, by the way? So Sean Archer shows up looking like himself and goes, hey, your mom died. She said, take care of you. So I'm going to take you home. All right. Kid just goes. Like, I think there's more steps than that, by the way. I don't know.
Yeah, what's that conversation like when he gets old enough to?
There's no conversation. That kid is messed up the rest of his life.
Yeah.
I told you, they're going to move him into that room. He's going to look around and go, what is all this crap? Yeah. And then here, put these clothes on. Wear that sweater. That'll look good on you. And then they're just going to start calling him Michael in about 2 months.
He just won't go to the merry-go-round.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I don't know. And a ridiculous haircut. He had, I think, same dressed haircut. Dressed like Chucky.
He looked like the kid from Liar Liar, too, by the way.
He does. I like part during the church scene. I like just randomly Nick Cage does a flip somersault.
Oh, yeah.
Just lands and then starts shooting.
Yeah.
Oh,
Laurel, he like doesn't. That. It's just right in the middle of the church. Flip, and then start shooting.
Laurel goes, "Why did he flip?" And like, because Travolta was running behind something. He goes, "Why did he flip?" And I go, "Because you need to flip." I don't know.
Needed a flip.
The efficiency just makes no sense.
It got him further faster. Yeah, so
I guess.
Well, what's your favorite? What else did you like about it? Your favorite action scene: the boats.
He did his boat chase.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I did the boat chase.
I said, what else? You said that they.
We're going back to my boat chase now.
Was it over?
You did yours.
Yeah.
I know. It's his turn.
All right. I just want to make sure.
I didn't want to take all the time. I got confused. I thought we were coming back.
I kind of felt like I jumped in on you. So I want to make sure you were done talking about
No, I got it all. The very end of my boat chase scene. You just got to love when he finally gets the spear gun to shoot and he just yells, die!
Okay. I was going to ask that. What is that? Yeah.
Die! He just needs him to die.
That's a Nick Cage-ism. He's got to die.
He's got to die.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. My action sequence. I really like it. Was in the hideout.
Yeah.
Later, that's a giant facility. Wherever they're
place
at,
is great.
Multi level. They get down in the basement and they're doing that mirror. There's the scene where they right after the quote about Plan B.
Yeah.
Let's just kill each other, and they turn to look at each other.
In
and great scene. Oh, I just think that scene right there. I just thought was really well done.
It's done.
Where because you have. John Travolta looking in the mirror, but he's Caster and he sees John Travolta on the other side. You got Cage very looking profound. In the mirror and he sees the guy he wants to kill. They're shooting each other through the mirror. There's imagery there.
Each other. They are missing badly.
They are missing badly.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think
the one
John
time they
Woo,
can't hit anything.
Like, that was the moment. John Woo's off screen, like, we got to get this right.
Yeah.
And then they do the mirrors and he's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. I saw one quote that the person said, I think they thought about that scene. And then they built the movie around that.
Yeah.
Because I think essentially comes to this identity thing. Who am I? Who am I going after?
If you watch more of that scene, John Travolta's doing some like pre-Matrix stuff. He's running in a circle while he's
on the wall.
And he's going like 1,000 miles an hour. I'm like, we were watching. We're like, what is he doing? Yeah. Like, how is he moving that fast?
He's like parallel to the ground.
It's crazy. Yeah. And I was like, that's some like pre-Matrix stuff like right there. So... All right, favorite vehicles, category 4. What do we got? I got speedboats for all the reasons you said.
Oh,
because I love watching the speedboat.
I had the speedboats.
So I got
as well.
Speedboats as my favorite vehicle.
I did not.
There's lots of opportunities for other vehicles, but I like speedboats.
Yeah.
I thought you'd go tan Volvo.
No, I did the tan Volvo the first time.
Yeah, I like the speedboats.
Beige Volvo.
Beige. It's a form of tan.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Beige Volvo.
You went with it. Nice.
I did.
Perfect.
I did.
Yeah.
And actually, if you Google the beige Volvo trilogy, it's a thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's all over the internet.
I will say that car Danny Masterson was driving was a nice sports car, though.
Was that a Trans Am?
Trans Am?
Red Trans Am.
It had the Firebird on the front, I think.
I think it was a Trans Am.
Yeah, so he was doing a little throwback. Because even in 97, that's an older car. But it looks like he souped it up, maybe redid it, so it looks nice.
Yeah.
Sweet. Well, category 5, I don't know how you'll find anything, but least believable scene... I'm just going to say the entire face-off procedure. Let's just be real about this movie. Obviously, that doesn't work.
Is that what you picked, too?
No. But you can tell me yours. That doesn't work. You can't just cut out the outside of your face and your face comes off like a mask. It doesn't. None of it makes any sense. And then they just put it back like it's no big deal. They put all his fat back in him. They put, you know, his hair's back exactly the way it was.
But he didn't need the scar anymore.
So it doesn't make any sense.
In that scene how the doctor's describing it, and he goes, and then we take your face off, we put his on, and then we just simply attach the tear ducts and the nerves and everything else.
Just simply.
And he uses the word simply like it's no big deal.
No big deal.
And I had read somewhere, and I've seen it on TV. I mean, they've actually done face transplants. And like back in 2010, this guy like shot his face off with a shotgun. I think he's trying to commit suicide. I don't know.
It doesn't look like it does.
Okay.
I've seen the
yes. And that's and I'm trying to be respectful to those people, and they're trying to get their life back together. But I'm sorry.
It looks
the end product is rough.
It doesn't look like it does in this movie.
It looks like their face is melting in Do you ever see RoboCop where the guy goes through the ooze and that's what it looks like? And
so you're telling me it doesn't look like
no
it does
way
in this movie.
No, there's no way these two guys come out looking tight. Like, tight. You know,
what's your least believable scene then?
Super stupid is
it's
all
great.
Super stupid is that when they shoot the propane tanks, it's totally been debunked. You would not get
Did
an explosion.
Mythbusters
episode 95.
You're such a nerd. All right.
Mine was part of the face off surgery.
Okay.
It was once they take off his face and they drop it in the liquid, which is magically going to keep his face alive.
It's a secret concoction.
Was that the best place to leave that? There was no storage room or anything.
Leave it open so it doesn't.
And nobody's wearing any like surgical gloves or masks. Like,
but that's not the part that's least believable. It's with his face off, just a giant open wound. They throw a piece of gauze on there and then they start cutting his hair. They just 100%. Hair flying everywhere. You know, one little of those hairs gets stuck underneath the face when they put it on. That is just an infection.
Maybe that was the itching.
He had a couple hairs stuck in his cheek.
You got some hair
there we go.
Under
it's
my
full circle
mask.
Now I get it.
That's I get it. Right. So yeah.
But yeah, that was the only part of the surgery. I had trouble.
Oh, that was the only part.
The only part.
Great. The rest of everything it, I think, is scientifically sound.
It sounds
everything else
up.
Legit.
Yeah.
What about those computers they were using? Those were legit.
Were you
pretty happy with those?
Yeah. The 3D, the classic
dated
the body turning around.
It was a great 3D printer they did for the guy's ear.
Oh yeah. Yeah, putting the ear on.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. That's
and then he got shot in the head. So
that's right.
Thanks for the ear.
But
the only thing that's left of him.
a little like futuristic accuracy, right? I mean, that's 3D printing's a thing now. Printing. I mean, that's a real deal. So
all right, so here we go.
Woo got something.
Yeah, Woo got something right. Well, here we go. Extra category six.
I was not prepared for this.
And you can't use any of the proposed actors. So if you're switching these two out,
right,
for the movie, not as the we've done on the other ones, who would you be selecting? So this is me. I'm going with Jim Carrey as Sean Archer.
Oh.
And I'm going Tom Cruise as Caster Troy, as Cage. Carrey would then have to dial it down to be like Cruise, because Cruise is a little subdued, and getting to watch Cruise do his crazy Oprah Manic event, cranking it up to be Caster Troy, and to be like Jim Carrey. Would be fantastic to watch because Tom Cruise would try to have to match that normal Carrey activity and animation, and watching Cruise do that would be like when he jumped on the couch on Oprah. Ha! Right? So I'm going to go Carrey and Cruise if I have to swap them out.
All right. I think if I went serious, I would think I would go Ben Affleck and Matt Damon.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So that would be a good swap there. If I wanted to go comedy, I think I'll go Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly.
Okay.
Man, I don't know. I would go, I'm trying to think of like two people that kind of juxtaposition, right?
Well, you know what I would want to do while you think about that is I would want to make it, I want to challenge their surgical abilities.
I was thinking about that
too. So I'm going to go like Chris Rock. And let's go with Will Ferrell, right? So let's see how good your surgical procedure
I was thinking Chris Farley and David Spade.
Okay, that too. Yeah, that would be. Let's see how you do that. Let's just add those together. Or make one a girl and one a guy.
Yeah. That's right.
Let's go ahead and swap that out. Am I getting implants? What are we doing here?
Yeah. Right? Do like a female version.
Yeah.
No, no.
A guy,
girl. Archer's a female. Caster's still a male. Let's do the swap.
Okay.
Maybe they won't notice my huge Adam's apple. Yeah.
I would do Vin Diesel.
Oh. Which part?
I would have him be Archer.
Okay.
And then do Johnny Depp.
So Depp becomes...
Because Johnny Depp, he can do the over...
That'd be weird.
Yeah.
Archer, him going to Archer from Caster Troy would be weird.
Yeah. Because I'm trying to think of somebody that would purposely do like this.
Oh. What would he do?
Right?
I can lick the beach for hours.
think Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
Right?
Ooh, like, all. Right.
Yeah.
Do we need to?
Yeah. That would up the creep factor on that, like when he stares down the daughter and licks her face. Yeah. Just as Johnny Depp, that would be a little rough, right?
Yeah.
And I think you could still throw Pacino and like De Niro into this.
Oh, totally.
Take them from Heat and put them into this. Remember in Heat when Pacino's like, she's got a great ass, right?
Yeah.
Imagine that energy turning into Archer.
Oh, yeah.
Papa's got a brand new bag, right? So he's just going to be like 0 to 100 the whole time.
Now he's just trying to throw his impressions in.
Imagine him with that part where he says they haven't found the body yet. Yeah. That Pacino would be off.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be off the levels right there.
That's funny.
So you could always put him in. Well, I have one more bonus category.
Oh, boy.
This should be easy. But category 7 for this one bonus. We did the 3 movies, The Rock, Con Air, Face Off. So what do you think was the actual best film of this trilogy?
Oh, my gosh. Just personal? Or are we...
Yeah, your choice.
Just knee-jerk, that's our choice.
You could, someone put these 3 movies in front of you and said, you can watch one. You only get to watch one. Oh my gosh. One do you watch?
I'm gonna shock myself on this decision.
Are you going Face Off?
I'm going Face Off.
Face Off, nice.
I think I'm going with The Rock. I will be honest, when I first started these 3, I was like, Face Off, no.
Yeah. That's,
as I watched it, I was like, you know what? It's growing on me. I like it a lot more.
Yeah. To me, it's in all the areas that it tries to be over the top.
Yeah.
It's unapologetically over the top, like it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So you hear it a lot of times where people say, "Oh, this movie's got a movie has a cult following."
Oh yeah,
this is one of those movies that's kind of that almost like a B movie type, like it's over the top.
I saw reviewers say critics, it's so bad it's good.
Yeah,
like it's supposed to be. So
I saw a quote where it talked about how it was a good mixture of John Woo's kind of Eastern movie making, and it mixed with Western movie making, and so it had a lot of like the double guns and the dragon and the thing and slow coat,
the slow moving of the coats as he gets out of the car.
That was stuff that he did in his
You said good. Anything you say good, Laurel's gonna be like, no, she's just shaking her head. She told me she hates that movie. Anyway, so I'm gonna go The Rock number 1 because overall I think it's the best movie. Face Off would be 2, and Con Air is last. I enjoy Con Air, but I enjoy it 3rd compared to the other 2. So I would agree with Kurt and say The Rock is the best movie.
I think for an audience The Rock was probably but for me, I think just for a entertainment standpoint, the Face Off. I don't want to like it, but the more I watch, I go, oh my gosh.
Well, we've made it through being caged in.
Caged in.
Unfortunately, it's coming to the end of that. But before we go, we want to thank Kurt for being on the show the last 3 weeks.
Ooh, thank you very much.
And digging into these phenomenal, I don't have enough good words for this, but these fantastic action movies of the 90s. It's been a lot of fun, and we'll bring you back again sometime in the future. But that does bring us to the end of the episode of Totally A's and I's Recall. We hope you've enjoyed being caged in the last 3 weeks. And particularly this week, reliving the movie Face Off. If you like this podcast, please hit that subscribe button and share it with a friend. We know you have people that you know that like the 80s and the 90s. So shoot it over to them, let them listen, and then go over to Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us feedback in 5 stars, which will help the show grow. Rob and I love hearing from our listeners, so please leave us a message on Instagram, Twitter, or our websites, which are all included in the show notes. You can also email us at 80s90srecall@gmail.com with comments or show ideas that you want to hear in the future.
So what is our homework for next time?
Our homework for next time, we have to leave the cage,
aww,
as we mentioned, and we're going to go back to our tried and true, what we're good at, back to music. Next week, we're doing another Billboard Hot 100 countdown.
Oh, the people like the Billboard.
They do. I like the Billboard, too. Oh. So I love to revisit music. This time, 27 June 1991.
Ooh, 91.
So fun year for Rob, fun year for me. Kurt, you got anything else?
I do not, except for thanks for having me.
Yep. It's been quite a journey.
I enjoyed being caged in.
Yes.
Caged in.
Perfect. Rob, you got anything else?
I got nothing.
He's got nothing. Fancy goodbye?
No fancy goodbye.
All right.
Caged in.
He doesn't do it the whole time. And then throws in like,